Blog Talk Radio.
What a mighty God we serve. He's awesome. He's powerful. He's mighty. He's waiting on you in the secret place. Father, we come today in the mighty name of Jesus to call you Lord, to call you Abba Father, to tell you how grateful we are that you are our Lord and that you saved us from destruction. We're so grateful today, Lord God, for your love, your mighty grace, your favor upon our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that you, oh God, load us up with benefits every day, and that you are our Lord and our shepherd. We shall not want. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we won't fear any evil because you are with us. Your rod and your staff is comforting us every day. We thank you that you are the great peacemaker that we need. You are making peace in us, peace around us, peace for us, oh God. Peace in our city, our state, our nation, and throughout the world. We lift up the world leaders today in every continent, Lord God. And we are thanking you for peace among the world leaders, that they will begin to bow down and worship you, that they will come to you, repent, turn from their evil, wicked ways, and begin to say, Abba, we need you more than the skin on our bones. And, Lord, that will bring peace in the world. When they dedicate their lives to you, the Most High God, the peacemaker. And so, Father, we are thankful today for all that you're doing on Wednesday midweek Bible study on the 10th of August, 2022. What a great day it is to worship you. You said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So today we're praising you. We're honoring you. We're blessing you. We're giving you glory. We're giving you praise. We are giving you thanks. There's no God great like you, Jehovah. In the name of Jesus, we are thanking you for your love, your tender mercy. Oh, God, we thank you that you drew us with your loving kindness. If it had not been for you on our side, we wouldn't know where to go, what to do. Oh, God, we cannot operate or function without you. We can't even think or breathe without you. We thank you for the oxygen supply that you supply throughout our body every day, in our lungs and throughout our skin, every organ in our body, receiving what we need for every day. And we are grateful that we can say, Abba, Father, no God great like you. You are holy. You are righteous. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. Nobody great like you. You are the one that order our steps. You are the one that fills a cup overflowing and running over, Lord God, with abundant supply daily, you load us up. And Father, we don't know the way to go, but you said the steps of a good person are ordered by you. So you are ordering our steps every day. We say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your kindness, your love. Your love is amazing, oh God. We thank you that you are omnipotent, the most powerful God in the universe. There's no God that could compare to your greatness. And, Father, you gave two great commandments. The first commandment, you said we're to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And so, Father, forgive us when we go to the basketball, football game, and we give all our strength yelling and screaming for the team. Oh, God, forgive us, Lord. Help us, oh, God, to give all our strength yelling and praising you. Oh, God, giving you all of our strength. In the name of Jesus, truly you are our strength and our redeemer. And, Father, you said who can know their errors? Forgive us for every error, every transgression, every trespass against you. You only have we sinned and done these things in your sight. So forgive us for any abominations, any iniquities, oh, God. Oh, Father, it is our desire to please you on a daily basis. It is our desire to do what you need us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, to come boldly before your throne, giving you honor, praise. We are the ones that have breath, and we are the ones that are saying what a great Father you are, what a loyal King you are. You are the King of kings, and even the angels bow down and worship you 24/7. So we are coming to bow down, to worship you, to honor you, to bless you today. To thank you for your great mercy. To thank you for your great love. You are omnipotent. You are most powerful. You are the only true and living God. Truly, there's no God like you, Jehovah. There's no God that is magnificent like you. You are magnificent. You are holy. You are grandiose. Oh, yeah. None can compare to how great and mighty you are. Faithful, even when we're not faithful to you, even when we're wallowing in the mud, the mire of life, you are still faithful to us. And we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord God, for ordering us. Thanking the Father for ordering our steps. Welcome to Wednesday Midweek Bible Study. Today is August the 10th, 2022. Where were we last year this time? Look at the goodness of God, how it followed us every day into 2022. Oh, he's an amazing Father. He's great. He's loyal. He's faithful. He loves us. Yep, he loves us. I mean, you know, we could sin all day, but he still loves us. But guess what? He says he chastised those whom he loves. So you know if we sin, chastisement coming. Yep. Mm-hmm. There are consequences for doing wrong. So we got to repent, but the consequences still come. But we can ask God, Lord, forgive us. Remove the consequences from us. He is a God who hears and who answers. It's his choice, not ours. Our scripture for today is Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4. Generations come and generations go, but the earth lasts forever. Generations come and generations go, but the earth lasts forever. Psalms 148 says, hallelujah! Praise God for his goodness. Praise the Lord, for the heavens praise him and the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, his entire heavenly army. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing his praise in the assembly of godly people. Praise God. Praise him morning, noon, night. Exalt him. He is great and greatly to be praised. Love on God daily, the one who birthed you, the one who knew you before he shaped you and put you in your mother's belly. Praise him daily. Exalt him. Honor him. Obey him. Even when you don't understand it. Well, it's praise time on Wednesday Midweek Bible Study. I am grateful for each one of you. And I'm thankful today for what the Lord is doing. He's doing great things in us. Today we have Minister Lanny McBride with us from Jackson, Mississippi. She's going to do a song of praise, and if I need her later, she'll do some more. So, good afternoon, Sister Lanny. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Sister G, and the rest of the family. Amen. Praise God. My heart has chosen one old familiar song that my mother probably sung while she was working in the kitchen. I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along this Jesus journey, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. Hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand. Hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand. While I'm on this tedious journey, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. Be my friend, Lord. Jesus, be my friend. Savior and Lord, be my friend. While I'm on this old tedious journey, oh God, Lord, I want Jesus. Lord, I want Jesus. Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. Amen.
Amen, amen. That's what we want. We want Jesus to walk with us every day. In every aspect of our lives, when we get up in the morning, in the afternoon, no matter what we're doing, we could be cooking, we could be going to Walmart, whatever we're doing, we need Jesus to walk with us. You know, he said the steps of a good person are ordered by him. So, you know, we need him to walk with us. We don't even know what direction to go in. But when we call on his name, he's going to order our steps. He will direct our path. Oh, yeah, he's the one who knew you before you formed and shaped in your mother's belly. He gave you the right mom. He gave you the right daddy. He said, you know what? I'm going to choose her for this family. I'm going to choose him for this family. He gave us the right family, father, mother, grandparents, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins. He didn't make no mistake. Uh-uh. He know what we need. He knows that our parents are going to train us up in the way that we should go. He knew these things. He said he knows our thoughts are far off. He is not, oh, yeah, sleeping. He don't slumber. He don't sleep. He's paying attention to you. Are you paying attention to him? Are you focusing on God? Are you reading the word? Are you studying the word? Are you meditating on the word? What are you doing every day? How you spend your time? Do you spend it in the secret place? Are you obeying God? Or you do pretend that he ain't talking to you? Yeah, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. So I thank God we have Minister Sister Gloria Dean on with us from Marrero, Louisiana. We thank you so much, Minister Lanny McBride from Jackson, Mississippi. How you doing, Sister Gloria Dean? We ready for you to sing one of those songs of praise the Lord gave you.
Well, I just give God the glory. Thanks, everyone. Can you hear me?
I'm listening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because this phone had been acting up. But I thank God for being with everybody, and God bless everybody, you know. But this song came to me while studying, you know, lessons and things for today. So I'm going to sing this song. I think I sang it last week, but I'm going to sing it again.
I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the children rejected. I
run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. With all cloudy, shaking sand, on that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock one more time. I go to the rock of my salvation.
Amen. He is our rock. Without our rock, we can't stand. So we need the rock. Thank you so much, Sister Gloria Dean. Awesome, awesome. We got to go to the rock. Yeah, we can't stand without the rock. He's our strength. He's our rock. He's our shield. He's our sword. He's everything that we need. So we're continually praising the Lord. We have Sister Mary Nichols with us from Oklahoma City. I wonder what it's like there. Is it hot, cold? I know it's not cold, but it may be a little warm today. It's warm in Jacksonville. You know, we broadcasting live from Jacksonville, Florida, and it's just a little warm here. But I thank God for the warmth, because, you know, the cold coming after a while, but it's not too cold. It's not like Oklahoma where it's snow. Good afternoon, Sister Mary. How are you?
I'm great, and it is very hot here. Rejoy.
Okay. God, We go through different situations, but we can rejoice our way through them. We can rejoice. It says, you know, the word of God is true. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but we got to praise him anyway. I knew a woman, she used to say, praise him when you feel like it, praise him when you don't feel like it. You got to give him glory, give him praise, and rejoice. Again, the word says rejoice, and again, I say rejoice. Rejoice over and over and over and over. Even when you're sad, the joy going to come from rejoicing. So it's prayer time. We're going to be praying for the elderly all over the world. I'm going to ask Minister Gloria Dean if she would pray for the elderly and their families all over the world. You know, many elderly are in excellent health. Many elderly are, you know, they're teaching the word. They're going about doing good every day. You remember the story of Dorcas in the Bible? Oh, that Dorcas was a mighty woman of God. She went about doing good every day. She was a seamstress, and those women loved her so much, they cried out for her when she died. And the man of God brought her back. They loved her so much. So we got to be like Dorcas. We got to go about doing good. Well, I thank God for each of you. I'm going to ask Sister Gloria Dean if she would say a prayer for the elderly in specific today. And don't forget our friend at Rose in particular. Go ahead.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Father, we love you today. We give you all the glory and all the praise, God. Father, we trust in you. We trust in you, Father God, because you are our Father. You're all we can depend upon. You have everything we need, and you say you supply all the need for the elderly and for all of us. And God, right now the elderly, they need you. Some in a nursing home, some at home, some in a hospital, God, but they need you. They need you for us, everyone to take care of parents and everyone, the children, to take care of the elderly and the parent and everything in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, and we leave and lift up Sister Rose, God, that she would be okay, Father, and her daughters. We bless her daughters, God, because and our granddaughters. They are really helping her, God, every day. She's home now, and every day they're taking care of her until she comes through as God would have her. And we know, God, she still can pray. She can't stop praying. She can pray. She's lying down in the bed, but praise God, she's coming through. And we pray the same thing for all others. It's the same thing for all other elderly, God. Men and women are going through things, God. They are lying down in the beds, and God, we pray the ones that need help, that help will come for them, God. We thank you, Lord. We pray, God. We pray today, God, and we know you're going to work it out for them, God, because some of them, Father, they don't have any food, nothing to eat. They're not eating properly. They're not receiving properly. So, God, we just ask you now in the name of Jesus, God, to find a way for them that they will be served, God, because you love them, God. You say you supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, that you're dealing with the elderly, God, and we thank you, Father, that you're feeding them, God. You're bringing healing to them, Father. They can get around, Father, some are 100 and over 100. But we thank you, Lord, that you take care of them, Father. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, the ones that really need you, Father, the help, God, that's supposed to come to them. Let them come every day as they should, God. God, rebuke the devour away from each one of them individually that they do what they're supposed to do, God. Let love come, God. It's going to take love. It takes love to come through these situations. It takes love to take care of the elderly. It takes that love, God, that love to come along with that health. And, God, we want to thank you today that all of the elderly, wherever they are, all over the world, God, that you take care of them, Father. Take care of them, Father. And we thank you now, God, as we give you glory, you give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah, God said even in our old age, he would not forget us. He said he was satisfied with long life. And we thank God he's satisfying us with long, healthy life. We're able to move, have our well-being in him. Well, we thank God for our first-time listeners today. We have several people on here for the first time. We thank God for you. We're going to be having participation time soon, and you are welcome to participate with us. We thank the living God that he is so amazing. Our God is so amazing. He orders our steps every day. He said the steps of a good person are ordered by him. So he knows what direction he wants us to go in. We just got to listen and be obedient. Because you know how we are. We're human, and we want to do it our way. But after we get through bumping our heads against the wall, we say, okay, I give, Lord. I decided to do it your way. So that's what we got to do. Do it his way. His way is the best way. You know God's way is the best way. We don't know the way, but we know the way maker. We know his name. His name. Yeah, his name. His name. We know his name. He's Abba Father, which art in heaven. He is the one that loves you, that loves me. He loves everybody in the whole world. He's no respecter of persons. He said, I reign on the just as well as on the unjust. So don't you worry. Yeah, the blessing's coming. Yep, the blessing's coming. So we thank God for each of you. We thank God for the songs. Oh, my God, awesome songs today. Thank God for each of you. But you know, make sure you got your Bible in front of you. It's scripture search time. So we're going to be searching the word today. It's time to search out the word. You know, the Bible says search the scriptures. See if you still be in the faith. See if you didn't slip out the faith. All right, so I'm unmuting all the lines, and I'm going to ask you if you need to do anything, you know, that you mute your line back. If you need to, you know, sing a song, whatever you need to do, mute your lines back. But we're going to unmute the line, scripture search. You know how we do it. I'm going to give out a scripture. First one who finds scripture, you read it. State your name first. Don't forget. This is, my name is. So we got a little bit of static on the line. So somebody's phone is making a little bit of, you know, a little bit of static. But we're gonna keep going forward. All right, so scripture search, here's how we do it. I will read the scripture, and then you find and tell us the book, chapter, and verse. But you got to state your name. Now, more than one person can find the scripture and read it together, as long as you find it. So everybody find it. Don't sit back and let your sisters or your brothers in the Lord find the scripture. You'll find it too. Don't be lazy. Don't be slothful. Come on, we all got to work together. That's how we get forward in life. The Bible says we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. And you know the second part? Love each other. We can't make it without loving each other. We got to help each other every day. Yeah, we do. We got to love one another. All right. So our first scripture today, I am going to read the scripture. You find the book, chapter, and verse. You know, I thank God for you all are such brilliant people. I thank God for each one of you today being on with us. The first scripture says, you got to get the book, chapter, first. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. All right, go ahead and search it out. Where is that scripture found? Book, chapter, verse. I'll give you a clue. It's in the Old Testament. It's one of the books of history. That's two clues. Come on, y'all. Find it. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Where is that scripture? Come on, give me book, chapter, verse. Say your name. I hear somebody talking.
Mary.
Really. Okay, go ahead, Mary.
Mary, First
All right.
Chronicle 29:15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding.
Amen. Excellent. You are brilliant. We got brilliant people on the radio today. We thank God for you. All right, keep your Bibles ready. We're going to the next scripture. Don't just one person find it. Everybody search it out. Search it out. Come on, don't be lazy. Come on, y'all. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Where is that found? I'll give you a clue. It's in the Old Testament, in the books, one of the books of poetry. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and our serpents, and are spent without hope. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Where is that found? Book, chapter, verse. Don't forget, say your name. God loves us so much, but he says, touch the scriptures. Read, study, obey. Come on. My days are swifter.
Sister Lainey.
Okay, go ahead, Sister Lainey.
Job, my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. Job 9:25. That's not it.
You close. Yes, I'm sorry. You're close, but you're close.
Read it again, Sister G.
Got the right book. You got the right book, though. And some of those words are in that scripture that I just read.
Okay.
My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. You're in the right book. Come on, y'all, help out. Help us.
Mary, Job 7, verse 6.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope.
Good job. All right, now, Sister Lanny, you ahead of us. You gave the right scripture.
Okay.
Is that what the next
mm-hmm.
one? Job 9:25. Okay. Go ahead, read it. That was the next
okay.
one. Go ahead.
Job 9:25, my days are swifter than a runner. They flee without seeing good.
All right. Good. See there, you ahead of us. All right. Next scripture. Find it. Come on, search it out. Search it out. Use your iPad, your computer, your phone, whatever you want to use. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. All right, where is that found? What book? Chapter, verse. You know what your clue is? That's one of the books of poetry. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, verily, every man at his best state, altogether vanity. Come on, state your name. Give us book, chapter, verse. Come on, y'all, help each other out.
Sister Lainey, Psalm 39:5.
Yeah.
Psalm 39:5.
Sister Mary, you're helping.
Go ahead. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah.
Amen. All right, Sister Mary, right there cheering you on. She was getting ready to say the same thing. Thank God for brilliant people. Now, listen, we have more people on here. Y'all get those Bibles out. Search it. Don't sit there and wait for them. Don't. This is not, you know, come on, she going to find it anyway. No, don't be like that. Sister Maryam, you better wake up. Where are you, Sister Maryam? I know you know how to search them out. Come on, y'all. All right. The next scripture. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness, and from day even tonight, wilt thou make an end of me? All right, where is that? That's, I'm going to give you a clue. It's still in the Old Testament. That's one of the major prophets. One of the books of the major prophets. Where is that found? I think
Mary.
Okay, go ahead, Mary. It's the author today. Go ahead.
Isaiah 38:12. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut up like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness from day even to night. Wilt thou make an end of me?
All right. Y'all did awesome. Awesome. I'm sending y'all lots of love. Thank you. Y'all did good. We got some other people on here. They say, oh, they got it before me. They was trying to find the scripture. And y'all, them scholars, them Bible scholars, they got it before. Well, I need some Bible readers. And I want everybody to volunteer. We got one of my daughters on here. She may be working. So I'll let her be the excuse. But the rest of us, I don't care if it's your first time. I don't care if you've been on here 25 times, a whole year, 2 years. I need a scripture read. So here we go. First scripture, Proverbs 13:22. Now, this is how we do it. You write it down, and I will call on you at the appropriate time. So you write the scripture down. You say, I'll read it, Sister G. Give me your name. And say, I'm going to read Proverbs 13:22 or whatever I assign. Who's ready? Who want to do that?
Mary.
Mary?
Yes.
Okay. All right, got you. Thank you. All right. So we got another one. The next scripture. We got Pastor Sola on here, Pastor Tora on here today. Thank you so much, Pastor Tora, for coming on. All right. This scripture is in Exodus, and it's chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read some of that, so I'm going to ask you to read verse 1 through 5. Exodus, somebody, anybody, volunteer, 2, 1 through 5.
Sister Vivian.
All right, Vivian. Thank you, Vivian. All right, I was beginning to think you were taking a nap over there.
I was asleep until as the rain woke me up. It's storming here. It's
Ooh.
Glad it woke me up.
I know it. Well, let me see. I need somebody to read Philippians 3:12. Philippians 3:12.
Sister Marian.
Okay. How you doing, Sister Mary? We missed you last week. Glad you're back.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So, here we go. All right. I'll call on you at the appropriate time, but I don't know, you know I need those readers. But in the meantime, you can just mute your phone till I call on you. I appreciate you. Love you so much. Today, our scripture is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes, you know, that's one of those books of poetry. One of those books of poetry. And so, you know, they say that the preacher wrote it. But anyway, it's God's word. So we're thinking, let's all turn to, you could turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 if you want. Now, you know, you got homework right after this. Hey, last week I forgot. Today we're doing homework. Thank God for homework. We got to read the word, study the word. And what's that other word we got to do, y'all? Hello?
Study.
We got to live it.
Read, study, obey. Yeah, live it. That's it. That's mm-hmm. how you live it, by obeying it. Good job. Thank you, Sister Vivian. And whoever else that was that answered us, I thank God for each of you. So our message today is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. So That's how God created it. You know, we got children, we got grandchildren, and they're going to have children and their children's children and so on down the line. And we had grandparents, great-great-grandparents, great-great-great, and all that. So they left a legacy for us. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, my grandmothers were not alive when I was, you know, born. So my grandfathers, they left a legacy for me, though. Oh, my God, I'm so grateful for my grandfathers. I know one in particular prayed for me. Prayed for me all the time. His name was Gantling as well. Reverend Gantling. He prayed for me. He left a legacy for me. So I thank God, you know, through his prayers, I'm still here. Yeah, I got in the mud. Yep, I was wallowing in the mud. But his prayers got me out the mud. He prayed for me probably before I was born. So we got to leave a legacy. A legacy is something that's handed down. What can we leave for our grand, our nieces, our nephews? What can we leave for the next generation that would benefit them in their lives? What can we leave for them? You know, they gotta, you know, give their lives to God for themselves. And, you know, we can't criticize them. We say, yeah, they go that purple hair child. Yeah, my grandchild, they got, you know, we can't criticize. They got tattoos all over. The other day I was walking in the park, and the Lord led me to pray with some young men. Now, they had mamas and daddies and grandparents, and they were smoking weed. But the Lord said, pray with this one, pray with that one, pray with them. I mean, when I tell you, they don't hide weed no more now. You know, they used to didn't want you to know they was doing it. But I walked up. They said, how you doing, mama? You know, they always call you mama. You got a little gray hair. They know you're a little bit older. So the Lord led me to pray for them. And one of them I prayed for, he said, Miss, he said, are you psychic? I said, no, psychics are from the devil. But I am from God. That was a prophetic prayer. I prayed for you. I said, and really, it wasn't me. I asked the Lord every time I open my mouth to pray through me. Now, so I'm speaking into his life that, you know, God is going to clean him up now. Whenever I show up, it's like God about ready to do something in their life. They may not know it, but change is going to come. Change is going to come. So are you leaving a legacy? Are you praying for the next generation? I'm not just talking about your family. I'm talking about the families in Ukraine, Russia, Antarctica, Asia, North America, South America, Europe. I'm talking about in every country, Africa, Asia, Antarctica, North America, Europe, South America. Are you leaving a legacy? You got to pray for them. They may not. Now, look, I didn't know my granddaddy was leaving a legacy for me. I didn't even know he prayed for me. But I was told he prayed for me. But those prayers are being answered. So are you leaving a legacy for the next generation? One generation passes away, and then another generation comes. But the earth abideth forever. Generations come and generations go, but the earth lasts forever. The earth is going to be here forever. Who has Proverbs 13:22? Would you read that for me? Sister Mary Nichols, that's your scripture.
I was muted. Proverbs 13:22. A good person leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous.
Amen, amen. Yeah, many people, you know, leave money for their children. And I knew a young man, he lived in Chicago years ago, and his parents left him a house. And, you know, through not being wise, he sold the house. And, do you know, he just squandered the money like the prodigal son, and he became homeless. So it's not always that we leave houses and cars and money, because some of them go squandered away. But, you know, when you leave a legacy like Solomon left for his son, he left wisdom. He said, son, be wise. Be wise. You remember King Lemuel's mother? She said, King Lemuel, it's not for kings to give their strength to those people out there. You know, don't give your strength to those women. No, that's not the way kings and princes live. Don't look at the woman with the shiny lips. That's what Solomon told his son, because her ways lead to death. Are you telling them? I know it looked like they don't want to hear it, but you got to tell them anyway. When they don't want to hear it, just pray. Say, Lord, I'm telling my son, I'm telling my granddaughter, I'm telling my great, I'm telling my nephew, and they, every time I tell them, they get an attitude towards me. Don't worry about it. Do what God says. Once they don't come around, what you do, you bend the knee. You call in another sister or brother or somebody who you know can pray, and you say, listen, I'm concerned about this with my child, my niece, my nephew. Could you pray? My cousin, could you pray? So that's what we got to do. We got to, you know, we are not an island. We are here to help one another. That's why God said the second commandment, love each other like you love yourself. How can we say we love her, we love him, and how can we say we love God and we don't love him or her or them? No, we got to love them in spite of. You say, well, I just don't like the way. I don't care. God love them anyway. Look for the God in every person. If we look at a person, we say, oh, my God, Jesus, she got purple hair. She wearing her pants down way he wearing his pants down. We would not love them. We'd just be pointing the finger at them. Have we looked in the mirror lately? Do we know what we look like? What do you look like to them? What do you look like to the younger generation? You know, some of them think we don't know nothing. They don't realize we've been that way before and that we wallowed in the mud like they wallowed in the mud, but we praying for them to get out the mud. Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. In other words, when you see these young people out here blasting their music loud, it's been done before. When you see them out here, they done dyed their hair, or they got false flash eyelashes out to their long as their finger, it's been done before. When you see them, you know, the boys wearing their pants down low, it's been done before. He says there's nothing new under the sun. But Solomon came to the conclusion that all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. No. He said, you know, I done did this. You know all those things Solomon did, all them wives and girlfriends he had. And, you know, he just experimented with life. His son, his father, David, handed down that curse when he slept with Bathsheba, his mother, and the curse came. But, you know, he tried to tell Solomon, don't go that way. You know things you've done? You got to tell him anyway, baby, I've done that before. Just don't you do it. I did this before. Don't you do it. So we got to fess up. You know, they see our lives now, and they know we ain't been holy all our lives now. They smart. And some of them have prophetic calls. They can prophesy to you if you let them. I mean, they got some. It was a young child at another church where I used to go. He said, Sister G, the Lord said. He wasn't but 6 years old. He was prophesying. And they have young people who see things now. They say, oh, Sister so-and-so, she cussed. Oh, Brother so-and-so, he smoking, he drinking. They could see it. You may be sitting on the church pew looking like holy are thou, but the children know your life. They not stupid. They ain't dumb. They ain't ignorant. They got calls on their lives. Like Joseph, he could dream, you know, he dreamed those dreams, and then he could interpret them. So, you know, who's living in your house? Are you leaving a legacy for them? You know, the Bible says, what legacy would you like to leave for your children's children? I need someone to find, I may have given it to somebody, Psalm 78, or I'm going to read it. I apologize. I'm going to read it. And I'm going to read it from a different version. So just give me a minute here. I got about two, three Bibles right here in front of me. Psalm 78. That's one of the scriptures that I just love so much. So much. I love that scripture. So I didn't give it to anybody, but I'm going to read it. And you can turn to it too. Psalm 78. It says, open your ears to my teaching. my people. Now, this is not King James. It's another version. It's, you know, what's the name of this one? God's word for each day. Open your ears to my teachings, my people. Turn your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth to illustrate points. I will explain what has been hidden long ago, things that we have heard and known about, things that our parents have told us. We will not hide them from our children. We will tell, here you go, listen, the next generation about the Lord's power and tender great deeds. Now, it didn't say if they want to hear it, tell them. It didn't give no kind of, it didn't leave anything out. It says tell them. It didn't say if they don't want to hear it, don't tell them. No, it says tell them. Tell the next generation about what? Now, it depends on what you're telling them. It says tell them about the Lord's power and his great deeds and the miraculous things he has done. He established written instructions for Jacob's people. He gave his teachings to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to make them known to their children so that the next generation would know them. Children yet to be born would learn them. They will grow up and tell their children to trust God, to remember what he has done, and to obey his commandments. Why? Then they will not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Their hearts were not loyal. Their spirits were not faithful to God. But we want this generation to be faithful, to be loyal to God. So we got to tell them. We got to leave a legacy. We say, listen here, baby. Now, the word of God says, obey your parents. You can tell this to your grandchildren because most of us, we got grown children. And a few of us over here got, you know, little ones. But we can tell them. You know, listen, when you obey your parents, you're going to have a good day. You're going to have good days. When you obey them and honor them, you know, I ain't talking about just in their faith. Because, you know, when I taught school, I had some, they were very bold. Now, they try to rise up against me, but the Most High God stepped in. And you know, they got chastised. So you can tell them, baby, when you honor your mother, your father, you're going to live a long time. See how old I am? I'm living long. You could do that too, but you got to obey them, not just with your mouth, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and then go and do what you want to do. No, you tell them. Tell your grandchildren. Tell your great-grandchildren. And then when the other ones come, the babies come through them, they're going to tell them. They may not tell them right then, but they're going to tell them eventually. So we want them to have a better life than we had. That's the legacy we're leaving. We got to tell them. We got to teach them so they won't be stubborn and rebellious. You know how, let me tell you, I done been stubborn. I've been rebellious. I don't want my children. I don't have birth children, but, you know, I don't want my spiritual children to be like that. No, I want them to live for God, holy, righteous, from the time they come out the womb to they leave the earth. That's what my prayer is, even though sometimes I know they slip in the mud. You know, they're human. They are human. But we got to say, now, Lord, we want our children to live holy, godly lives. When we see them living, you know, telling lies, don't always say, you lying. Go to God with it. Say, Lord, help my children and my grandchildren to tell the truth. Don't just point out their faults. Point out good things about them. Say, you know what? You are so handsome. You are so beautiful. Oh, Grandma. Baby, I am so proud of you. You made straight A's every quarter. Here, I'm going to give you $20 for this A, all the A's you made this quarter. Yeah, here you go. You can leave that kind of legacy. You can encourage them. Don't discourage them. Don't put them down. Say, you shouldn't have did that. No. And, oh, you know what? I hate to say it, but this generation is cutting their babies. I was at the library. I told some of you before. I was at the library downtown in Jacksonville, and I was getting ready to get in my car, and this lady had a young child. The young child was 2 or 3, and she just using every other curse word. Get your so-and-so, yada-da-da-da-da-da. I said, ah! She said, oh, I'm sorry, miss. I apologize. I said, no, ma'am. Don't apologize to me. Apologize to that one that you know, you came out of your belly. Well, he walking in the street. I said, I noticed you're on your cell phone. Do you have two hands? Can you grab one of his hands? He has not been here before. He don't know the danger of a car like you do. He don't know that he can be run over. But if you grab his hand and say, come on, baby, mama love you so much, and this is the way we're going. I said, it was straightened out. Don't cuss your flesh. Don't cuss that baby. Train them up in the way they should go. Yes, ma'am. Now, I don't know if she did it or not, but I had to tell her because it was grieving my spirit. And some of us say, well, I don't want them cussing me. I let them cuss you out. So what? You could be saving their babies from destruction. You could be saving their lives. I know you don't want to tell them. Some of them go to church every Sunday, every time, every Wednesday. They go when they pray. Some of them go all the time, but they ain't there yet. So we got to help them get there by pushing prayer. Pray until something happens in their lives. Don't you know when you were growing up, you went in the mud, lied, steal, cheat, whatever it was, we did. We tried to hide it. But God said, I know my mom used to tell me, what's done in the dark, baby, gonna come to light. So, you know, we got to tell our children, our grandchildren, we got to tell the next generation about the Lord's power and the great deeds and his miraculous things that he's done. He established written instruction in Jacob. He gave his teaching. Now, you know what? We go to church all the time. And many people bring their children to church, but that's the extent of it. If the teachers in the church is not teaching their children are not getting the word. And do you know what grieves my spirit? To see the children at church, every church I go in, they back there texting, you know, they back there on their cell phone. No telling what. They could be on a site that the devil put them on. Their mamas don't know they're in another space. Their daddy's over here, their mama's over there, and they just texting their friends in somewhere. And they on a website somewhere, don't know what they're learning. And then when they get home, they suck their teeth at their mama, their dad. Why? Because they want some sight. They learning something they ain't got no business learning. He commanded our ancestors to make them known to their children. You know how your grandma, your great-grandma, your great-great-great-grandparents, that generation, they taught or they passed the word. Now, look, in my family, they didn't go to church. But my mama sent me. She didn't go. Eventually, she started coming, but I used to go to church down the street from the time I can remember. I don't know how old I was, but I had to memorize all the little scriptures they gave us, Easter time, Christmas time. You know how we did it. But I thank God for that because the older women trained me up in the way I should go. When I was a teenager, the older women, they used to have a class, and I would sit in that class, and they said, now, baby, one day you're going to grow up, and this is how you got to live. This is what you need to know. I didn't always do what they said, but as I got older, I'm like, wow, they had wisdom. So we got to pass the word on to the next generation. Now, let me tell you something. Recently, I heard a preacher talking about generational curses. So you got to break those off your children, your grandchildren. You got to break. We all got them in our family. Every family has generational curses, and you got to identify and break them off your children. You know, these scriptures that we read, they're very profound, and they tell us to tell our grandchildren, our children, and, you know, so forth about the word of God and how God delivered you from whatever it was. He could have delivered you from alcohol. He could have delivered you from drugs. He could have delivered you from lying. Whatever it was, he could have delivered you from a sexual activity. He could have delivered you from stealing. You know, you could have stole. Your mama said, baby, don't get this here. Out the refrigerator, you could have stole out your mom, whatever it was. It could have been, he could have delivered you from, you know, being on the phone all the time, whatever it was. God is a deliverer. So we got to tell our children, the generation now, the generations that's now, we got to tell them about the goodness of God. You know how the Lord delivered you from whatever it was. He would have delivered all of us from something. So we got to be honest with them. Baby, you know, when I was young, I used to do this. They know we weren't saints all our lives, so we may as well fess up. Say, now I'm ashamed of this. I did this, but you know, I did. So you can tell us. I smoked a little bit. You know, I turned up the bottle a little bit. Whatever. I lied to my mama and I snuck out with my boyfriend. Whatever it is, tell them. They know. Some of them know anyway. They can look at you and say, My grandma didn't always, my grandpa didn't always live holy. So I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 2. And in a minute, Sister Vivian going to be reading for us 1 through 5. So we're on Exodus chapter 2. And right after this, we're going to be doing homework. Exodus chapter 2, 1 through 5. Go ahead, Sister Vivian.
The birth of Moses, and there went a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife, daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ox of bulrush and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flag by the river brink. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maiden to fetch it.
All right. Exodus chapter 2. Now, you know that was Moses' mother. She left a legacy for him. She gave him up when he was young. But guess what? Moses, Pharaoh's daughter, said, listen, his sister first pushed him out in the water. You know the story. And so she said, listen, do you want the mother of this child to breastfeed the child for you? She said, sure. So Moses' mother left a legacy in him. He had the word down on the inside of him. He didn't even remember. You know, she prayed over her baby, I'm sure, every day. She believed in the God that we believe in, the Most High God. She probably prayed over him, told him about the God that she served. She left a legacy for Moses. She prayed for him. So when Moses got a certain age, you know, after he had murdered that man, you know, but he knew his people, and they were trying to kill. They rose up to him. So he killed that man. But Moses went to the mountain. Now, don't you know that that was Moses' legacy his mama left? So he saw the burning bush up there. And he didn't know what was up there, but when he stepped up there, that legacy was coming for that his mother had prayed. Lord, let my child, this mighty man of God, grow up and follow you. So you know the story. His mother left a legacy for him when he was growing up. She sure did. She left that legacy for Moses, and Moses was one of the great men of the Bible. So we thank God for Moses. You know, the Ten Commandments came through Moses, that mighty man of God. Now, he left a legacy for the next generation. For he had one child, he and his wife, but he left a legacy for him and the next child. He didn't even know who God was when he stepped up there, but his mother knew. And in his inner being, he knew. God told him, listen, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. How many of us tell our children, be mannerable, you know, have kindness, you know, we got to leave those kind of legacies for our children. So God had the Ten Commandments come through Moses. Now, let me tell you, his life was not easy. He said, look, I don't know what you want with me, but I don't want to do that. How many of us tell God that? Lord, that's too hard for me. You telling me to go talk to the president of the United States? You telling me to go over there in Ukraine and get the people out of there and bring them back to America? Lord, what you telling me is too hard. Lord, you telling me to go downtown in Jacksonville and pray on Adams Street for 1 hour? Lord, you telling me to go down to Walmart and pray inside Walmart and pray with people? Lord, that's too hard for me. That's what Moses was saying. He gave all his excuses. God will listen to your excuses, but you still gonna do what he tell you to do. What legacy are you leaving for your grandchildren? He said, tell them. Our legacy is to tell our children, our grandchildren, great-grand and a great-grand. I know Gloria Dean, the one that prayed for the elderly on here, she has great-great-grandchildren, and some of them are grown. I mean, I was privileged to be on with her. You know, sometimes we'd be talking, and her great-grandson, you know, those boys, they're grown now. But I'm telling you, her hand, oh, my God, was upon them. She prayed with them. She prayed for them. And, you know, they may be fly a little bit, but they're going to be mighty men of God. I remember when they were little, she'd be praying for Karan, and I forgot his other name. She know who I'm talking about. So, you know, keep on praying. Sometimes you can't reach your children, reach them through your grandchildren. Say, baby, let me tell you something. I want to tell you about this great man of God named Moses. I want to tell you about a great man of God named Joseph. I want to tell you about a man who killed a little boy. He killed a lion, a bear, and a giant. You can tell them. And then through those, you can tell them about how to live right. Yeah, you can tell them. There's a way to get the word of God out through everything. Oh, there's always a way to get the word of God out. Now, Sister Marion, I gave you a scripture, but I don't remember what it was. What did I give you? Sister Marion, you muted? All right, hold on. Okay.
You want me to read it?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Hold on. Hold on. Philippians what?
3:12.
Okay, hold on. Let me get to it. I got it. Now, I see where it is. But hold on 1 second. I'm going to get right back to it, and then I'm going to let you read it for me. All righty. I appreciate you all reading for me. You guys are excellent readers. I appreciate you. All right, Philippians 3:12. Go right ahead.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
All right, Philippians 3 and verse 12. Thank you so much. Now, if you go to Philippians 4:8, God tells us, you know what? He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are... Think on these things. So we can teach these to our children, our grandchildren. We can say, baby, look, I want to tell you something. Think on things that are true. You know that stuff you look at on the phone sometimes? That's not true. That's not reality. What's honest? Be honest and be honest with them. You can live a life in such a way you don't even have to open your mouth. You can live a life and they know you a godly woman or a godly man. They know. They know how you living. Can you pass the fruit of the Spirit on to them? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Do you have self-control when the doctor tell you, oh, yeah, you don't eat this and make sure you doing this? Are you doing that? Are your grandchildren? To come and take you to the doctor all the time because you not doing what God told you to do. They know when you ain't living right, but you can leave a legacy of things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. You can leave a legacy for them of all of those things. And they know. They understand. They understand. So they understand right living better than they say, well, what's that scripture mean, Grandma? What's that scripture mean, Papa? What's that scripture mean? But they understand when we live a life before them, they understand those things. So questions, comments, thank God for the word today. You know, we gotta be kind to our children, grandchildren. You know, sometimes we don't mean it, but unintentionally, we could be, you know, tearing them down, hurting their feelings, you know, just trying to criticize them all the time. That put them down. But what legacy do you want to leave? I know you want to leave a legacy of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, kindness, peace, consideration. Sometimes we got to be considerate of our children. Just because they're your child, you can't be ordering them around. They're grown. Just because even if they're not grown, you can't order them around. You can say, baby, would you mind getting mama or grandma a glass of water, please? No. You could be kind. Go in there and get some water. No. We got to be kind and considerate. And then if you do offend them, we come sometime offend them. Don't be so proud that you can't say, come here, baby. Let me tell you, I apologize. I realize that I offended you. I hurt your feelings, but I did not intend it. Please forgive me. I wasn't feeling good, or I wasn't feeling it, or whatever it was. You can always go back and clean it up. You know what I'm saying? So come on. I muted the lines now. You want to, you know, say anything, feel free. Make comments, questions. State your name.
This is Sister Lainey. I was moved by all your scriptures and your instructions to tell us, and I haven't had any children come from my body, but as a teacher at school and at church, and among the musicians, our community of musicians, I consider a lot of them my children. Some of them call me mama, but what was really a challenge to me and my thinking is, when was the last time you look at yourself when you think about looking at the children with purple hair and they got the tattoos, and they're not necessarily all of them at church, because some, you do see some people with tattoos and all that at church and different colored hair, but we look at them and we form an opinion about who they must be because of how they, what they've done to their bodies or how they dress. But then have we looked at ourselves to see what do they see when they look at us? That, to me, was a huge challenge. What do the children see, our young people, even younger women than us? What do they see? What are we showing them? And you said, you know, we got to be teachers, role models. What's that? Titus 2 talked about the older women being models. But that was a challenge.
Yes.
When was the last time I looked in the mirror and said, what do they see when they look at me? What am I looking like to them? That's rich, Sister G. That's a reason to rethink some things.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much.
Rich.
Anybody else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. God is good. God is good. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to bring this lesson, but he's good. All right, next person, name?
Sister Marion.
Okay.
Sister Marion.
Okay.
I can all relate to what you're saying. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I can relate to what you were saying about how we, how they see us, because I know when I was younger and coming up, I looked at the women in the church that I was going to, and I picked out ones that I wanted to emulate, whether it be the way they dressed, the way they prayed, or the way they carried themselves. I wanted to model myself after those women and what they did, and that caused me to want to dress the way they dress, to try to live the way that they live. So they were examples for me, and I try to be that to a younger generation.
Amen. Thank you so much. Anybody else? We're going to homework. All right, well, we're going to go to homework. We have Sister Lainey. You have Proverbs 30, verse 3, Ecclesiastes 11, 5. So what did God show you concerning those scriptures? We were in Proverbs, so now we're in Ecclesiastes.
Yes,
what did he show you? Go ahead.
All right, Proverbs 30 and 3 and Ecclesiastes 11, 5. Proverbs 33 says, I neither learn nor have the knowledge of the holy. And when I researched that and heard what I heard and wanted to understand it, it says, I have not learned, not mastered human or godly wisdom. I neither learned, which means I didn't master human or godly wisdom. Now have I attained or learned the knowledge of the Holy One, who is the very source of wisdom. I appreciate that. You know, a lot of things I didn't learn in the human, you know, my human understanding. And then I haven't attained or learned knowledge of the Holy One, who is the very source of wisdom. When you talk about learning, you need the wisdom of God to understand some things. So that scripture was saying, in other words, I lack understanding. I haven't learned some things, and I lack wisdom. Ecclesiastes 11:5 says, "As thou knowest not the way of the spirit, nor have the bones to grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." That's interpreted as just as you really don't understand the who, what, why of the Spirit of God. We don't always understand the who, what, way, the way of God, of the Spirit of God. Nor have we understanding of how a baby is formed and made inside of a person. We got our science stuff in our head, so to speak, but this is a mystery to us. So you do not know the works of God, who is in control, making all things. And what it's saying that we're not as smart as we think we are. What it's saying that God is doing some things that we don't quite understand. We see some things. We see a baby being born. But the mechanics of how that all come together, only God knows how that's done. And it really ends by saying, so you do not know the works of God who is in control, who makes all things. In other words, it's encouraging you. You need to know who God is because he's handling everything. I thought that was rich.
Amen.
Our human knowledge is not enough. We need godly wisdom. That's what it really means.
All right. Thank you so much, Sister Lanny. Sister Glory,
yes,
Dean,
ma'am.
Homework. Proverbs, excellent job, Sister Lane. Glory Dean, you got Proverbs 30, verse 5. Go ahead.
30, I had Proverbs 30, chapter 1 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Praise God. Well, I found, we can put the two scriptures together. That's what you're doing?
Yes, yeah. That's what I want.
Okay, well, the other scripture I have with it, it goes with it. Well, it talks about God being his word. Talking about his word being what? Being pure. His word is sure, true. When this scripture say pure, what does pure mean? God's word is like gold, and it doesn't change. It's like it's in the furnace as if to go seven times, which is that's coming from another scripture I have. It can be in the furnace as, just like gold, and it comes out pure. That's God's word. It's pure. It's not mixed with anything. It's unadulterated, extraneous. Nothing is mixed with the word of God. Hallelujah. And it says it's also that I always like to say the unadulterated word when you're speaking. It's not mixed with anything when you're speaking about the word of God. And then the other scripture I had, 12:6 of Psalms, it came right in with that. The word being incorrupt. It wasn't corrupted, and it wasn't, it was faithful in God's word, and it teaches about purity. And the Bible is our treasure. Praise God, and it just continues as it peer goes to the treasure. And, you know, I like this in Psalm James 1 and 121. I like to read that, James 121, but I keep turning away from it. It's James 121. And it talks about the engrafted word of God. Engrafted word we receive within us. That's what God wants to give us, that engrafted word, that pure word, that word that is sure, that word that is true. It's not mixed with anything, and we can depend on God's word. And also the shield, talks about the shield, that's our protection that he has to keep, to be able to keep that purity. to keep the holiness. God's word is truth. God's word is sure. We can depend upon God's word. It's not mixed with anything. It's gold. It's pure. More than gold, praise God. More than gold. Gold, it's not mixed with anything. It's pure by itself. Just like God is God all by himself. So I just love the word. Whenever I have to speak, I love to speak that word, the engrafted word of God, the purity of the word, that unadulterated word. Hallelujah. That's the word that we have to study. We can depend on him. He's our shield. He protects us and helps us to keep ourselves unadulterated. The word is unadulterated. Keep us, and we have to help us. And all God wants us to do is trust in him. Put our trust in him, praise God, because that is our treasure. It's like a treasure, praise God. And we thank the Lord for it. So we so I give God thank the glory you. Today. I praise him. Praise
Amen.
God.
Thank you so much. Awesome, awesome. Sister Miriam, you got Proverbs 31:29 and the scripture, that companion scripture is Proverbs 11:6. Go right ahead.
Yes. Oh, 16, Proverbs 11 and 16, a gracious woman retaineth honor and a strong man retaineth riches. And the corresponding scripture is Proverbs 31 and 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. These scriptures are telling you if you continue to be a gracious woman, you continue to be a virtuous woman, that you will excel. God would excel you. He would use you. He would give you. A strong man will retain riches if you be obedient and if you be gracious. One scripture that I had to go with that, you already read it. It said, finally, Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He wants you to think on all of those things in order for you to stay virtuous and stay gracious, and you retain excellence from him. That's what I got out of the scriptures.
Amen. Thank you so much. Okay. All right, Sister Vivian, you have Proverbs 30:24-25, Sister Vivian. And Proverbs 6 and 8.
Oh my God,
Proverbs 24-25, and the companion scripture is Proverbs 6 and 8.
Okay. I don't know why I got 6 and 16. Okay. All right.
Don't worry about
Proverbs,
it. Just, you can just.
All right. 24. Proverbs 30 and 34.
24-25.
Okay, 24. All right. Proverbs 30:24-25. She makes fine linens and sells it, and delivers girls to the merchants.
Wait, Vivian, you in Proverbs
yes.
31? You're supposed to be in Proverbs 30. 24-25.
Oh, that's right. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Yeah. Okay. 30. All right. 30 and 24 says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. And you know, God wants us to be wise. He don't want us to be you know, just drifting around every day and ever learning but never coming to the truth, you know. So these things that are mentioned are feeble and defenseless, but because of wisdom, they have food and security, government and dignity. Proverbs 6 and 8 says, I'm back. 6 and 8 says, she provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest.
We look at that. We see farmers, they gather in the summer and they gather up and they store up in their barns. And they also store up for us that we can go and purchase and buy and so that we can have food. But, you know, if a person don't try to, don't be wise and try to prepare for bad times and see things are bad upon the earth, then they become a sluggard, the Bible says. So we ought to prepare and be wise servants. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Vivian. One more. We got Sister Mary Nichols, Proverbs 31:20, and Matthew 6:1.
Okay. Those Proverbs 31:20. And this just outlines one additional attribute of the Proverbs 31 woman. And one of the things that she does is it says she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. So not only does she provide for her own family and keeps everything in working order, she also, because of her heart, she provides and serves those who are in need. And that is a necessary part of her being the Proverbs woman. And that she actually, her husband and her family are basically recognized because she is generous and she does things for the poor. And Matthew 6:1 says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So as the Proverbs woman is sharing and caring for those that are in need, it's coming from a right place in her heart that she's not doing it, giving people things and helping them and comforting them. She's not doing it to be seen by me. She's doing it because it comes from her heart.
Amen. All right. You guys did an awesome job. I thank God for giving you all, you know, what he wanted you all to share with us. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, we're about to close out, but we got to pray. You know, we got to pray, we got to pray, we got to pray. So I'm going to pray for our babies, baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Revere, and their families. And then I'm going to ask Sister Marion if you could pray for Mother Fanny. She has not been feeling well. I talked to her yesterday, pray with her. She may have to, you know, say she may have to go to the doctor or hospital or something. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Revere. We thank you for their mom, their moms, their dads, their sisters, their families, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, for their health and their strength. I decree and declare health for them, that they are healthy, they are well. You said, beloved, you call the babies your beloved. You said, beloved, above all, I wish that you prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. You sent the word and healed them. So I thank you that they're walking in divine health and healing. Help their parents as they take them to doctor's appointments or whatever they have to do. Feed them healthy food, oh God. So, Father, we thank you for the time that the children and their parents spend together having fun. Thank you for the parents who are praying with their children, for their children. We agree with your word. Your word is true. So we honor you and we honor your presence today. You are almighty. Nobody's great like you. We thank you that the babies are healed. We thank you that their families are not put under heavy burden, but their families are working with the doctors, and the doctors are giving them the right whatever they need, oh God. We thank you that you are the great physician on call. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We bless you and honor you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Sister Mary, you can pray for Mother Fanny.
Sister Marion. Heavenly Father, I come before you right now, Lord God, to bring my dear sister Fanny before you. Also, I want to bring a couple of other people before you, Lord God. Sister Annette Daniels right now, Lord God. Sister Barry right now, Lord God. And Brother Eddie right now, Lord God. They all need you. They all have something wrong in their bodies right now, Lord God. Dear Jesus, they need you. They need your healing, anointing power right now over their bodies right now, Lord God, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Lift them up right now, Lord God. Lift them all up right now, Lord God, off of their bed of affliction right now, Lord God. Healing anointing right now, Lord God. Healing anointing right now, Lord God. You are our healer. You said you were healed. We were healed by your stripes, Lord God. And in your name, Jesus, I proclaim healing over their bodies right now, Lord God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet right now, Lord God. Lift them up, Lord God. I know you can do all but fail right now, Lord God. And there's nothing too hard for you to do right now, Lord God. So whatever aches and pains they have right now, Lord God, whatever is bothering them, Lord God, in their bodies, I know that you are more than able to heal their bodies right now. And I proclaim the healing in the name of Jesus. And I praise you right now, Lord God, for the anointing healing over their bodies through your Christ Jesus. I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, powerful prayer. Are there any requests? Anybody have any special requests today? State your name, and we'll pray for you.
Sister Laney, I'd love for you to pray for my overall wholeness and physical and energy, mm-hmm. and just a total prayer of just covering in the name of Jesus that God will elevate my body, strengthen my spirit and heart and soul, mm-hmm. and my all of
okay.
me.
All right, Father, you heard your daughter. She is your daughter. She is your very elect daughter. And so, Father, we thank you for Sister Lanny's health and her strength. We thank you, Lord. You said the steps of a good person are ordered by you. Order her steps in the direction she needs to go in for her to have the health and the energy, the strength you want her to have, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. You call her your beloved above all. I wish that you prosper being healthy, even as your soul prospers. And so, Lord, you say even in our old age, you would not leave us nor forsake us. So I thank you for touching her body inside out. We decree and declare every organ is healed by the stripes of Jesus, from her brain, her lungs, her kidneys, her gallbladder, or every portion of her body, her skin, female organs, every part of her body is healed in the name of Jesus. And, Father, you know she goes about doing good daily. She loves your people, and she, oh, God, is like the woman in Proverbs 31. Oh, God, she prays for her family, her spiritual family, her sisters and brothers. And, Lord, you know that she, oh, God, is called to do great things, greater things, greater things. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, so we say long health. Will I satisfy you? Long life will I satisfy you. Long life and excellent health, and strengthen her body. In the name of help her to get the proper rest, no tossing, no turning. In the name of Jesus, we thank you today. Lord, I lift up Sister Marion, your daughter. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for, oh, God, she's going to come to you. You're the great physician. In the name of Jesus, to heal her body. Less medication, less doctor visits in the name of Jesus. I thank you for her family. Oh, God, love and unity and peace, her peace of mind. I thank you for Sister Glory Dean. Bless her children, her seed, and seed seed, even those that are being born. bless her family like never before. I thank you for strengthening her body. I thank you that she walks in divine health and healing. I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for the word of God that is written on the tables of her heart, that she knows the word, as some people say, from cover to cover, kiver to kiver. I thank you, Lord God, for Pastor Tora. I thank you, Father God, for all you're doing for her family. Bless them like never before. Protect them. Continually walk with them. Talk with her. Bless her husband, her children, her entire family, Lord God. We speak blessings, oh God, the blessings of Deuteronomy, oh God, on all of us, 28 on all of us. In the name of Jesus, I pray for Sister Mary Nichols, her husband, her children, her family, Lord. And Lord, as she is called to do much, you said to whom much is given, much is required. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all you're doing for her. I thank you, Lord God, for Michelin, the mother of baby Chloe. I thank you for her husband, her other daughter, Zoe. I thank you that they walk in divine health and healing. I thank you for the rest. Give her rest, rest, that she won't be feel like she's like the ever-ready bunny, won't give out. But, Lord, I thank you that even during the day, she'll prop her feet up, take a short nap, get her refreshing, oh God, even if she has to walk around the house. I thank you for short walks for her and the baby, our daughter, Zoe, as well. So bless the family, Lord. And, Lord, other people who came on, I don't know their names, but you know them, Lord. So I lift them up before you, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, for excellent health and strength. I pray, oh God, the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 on all of us, that we will continually honor and obey you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I love each of you. I thank God for you coming on today on Wednesday midweek Bible study. Look forward to talking to you soon. God loves you so very much. And I love you too. Love y'all. Yes.
Before you get off, Father, in the name of Jesus. Before you get off, Father, in the name of Jesus, everything that Miss G prayed for us, we pray, Father, for everything that applies to her, that you will multiply it 70 times 70. We appreciate you giving our heart to love us. We give it, appreciate you giving her to us to care for us, how she watch over us as she teach us and be strength, and she's strengthening us. God, we pray that you will strengthen her. From the top of her head to the sole of her feet, every ounce of who she is, be subject to the name of Jesus and whole and strengthened in every way that's needful. Amen. It's in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for hearing and answering our prayer. We appreciate you for giving her to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 And
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I felt that love. I just thank God for the love that I have for me and I have for you all. Thank you, Sister Lanny. I appreciate you. Look forward to talking to you all soon. Love y'all. Have a great day. A God-filled day.
Thank you, Sister G.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Bye, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.